Good morning. Court radio is now in session. Call 215-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning, Court Radio fans. Welcome to another episode. It's Sunday, December the 8th. And we're supposed to be getting a little snow today, so be careful out there. I'm joined in the studio with my co-host, the one and only David M. Rappaport.
Good morning. Hello. Welcome.
How are you, Big Dave?
I'm well.
There's a lot going on in the news. Let's jump right in, okay, folks. Folks, if you're listening to David and I know you are, you'd want to call us at 215-227-2727. That gets you into the studio this morning from 7 to 8. After 8 o'clock, it gets you over to the My Philly Lawyer offices. But for right now, you can talk to David and I. You can pose your questions, your legal issues, or comment on whatever we're talking about. 215-227-2727. My alma mater, our alma mater, has axed
Temple
7 sports programs, and athletes were shocked all over the Delaware Valley.
Yeah, this troubles me, as you know.
Yeah, it doesn't trouble me as much.
I don't know why, but it does me.
Okay, well, men's baseball, men's crew, about 7 sports were just summarily cut from their list of sports that they offer for student athletes. What do you think about that, David?
I think it's ridiculous. Again, we were talking about this right before we went on air, and you seem to think it might be because, obvious reasons, monetary, that they're not winning and they're spending money on these things. But, I said if that's the message that they send and that's the criteria for having the sport, then there shouldn't be football. And there shouldn't be some of the major ones at Temple because they don't win either on a regular basis.
Yeah,
but it's I think it's more just the fact that they don't think it's quote unquote profitable for them, and that's ridiculous because there's more to education than just
Well, I think that
Latin and
you have a gangrene foot. Okay, yeah. You're a diabetic. You cut the foot off to save the body.
Please,
this is no different. I mean, look how many people were affected. Not that many. Out of the 7 sports total, 150 students and 9 full-time coaches were affected by that. 150.
That surprised me too. 150. Yeah. It seemed
a major Temple, university. 60,000 human beings go there. I mean, it's huge. Right. I mean, all campuses and all times and blah blah blah. But 150 students, and how many people came out to see a baseball game? It was like probably three. The parents and like 3 visitors. You go to a baseball game, there could be 10,000 spectators at a basketball game. You go to a football game, there could be 20,000 spectators.
You're talking about profitability.
Well, and involvement. I mean, if you're spending all that money for 3 people to come out and watch a sport, people really don't care. That's the bottom line.
I know when I was an undergraduate at Temple many moons ago, I played tennis. Now, tennis would be the least of the sports, that you would think it ranks in of people coming to watch. And in fact, it wasn't competitive. It was just a class, tennis,
Right.
And I think, aren't all of the extracurricular activities offered in that way, like baseball?
No. I mean,
I think they are.
If they have classes, I don't take it from the story that the classes are canceled. Okay. They might not have a tennis team, but they have tennis class, so you could still picturing you in white shorts though is just too much.
Well,
we weren't
obligated to wear white shorts.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, okay.
Please.
All right. Well, listen.
I think I wore jeans actually back then, right. Playing tennis,
smoking a doob while you're running around,
yeah,
screaming, "Hey, that's a bummer, man!"
Wait a minute.
215-227-2727. There's a Georgia man out there who's got a $50,000 judgment, David.
Yes, what is that about?
He broke an engagement with a young lady.
We always like these stories because everyone, the law is all over the place on this, I think.
Yeah, it's a contract. When you contract to marry, you offer up that ring.
So in Georgia now, you can pretty much be...
Now this, his judgment is for 50 G's. Not only did they award her 43.5, but they gave her 6,500 in attorney's fees, which is unheard of because unless there's a written contract specifying the inclusion of attorney's fees, I've never seen that before.
What was the award for?
The award was for her damages. She kind of put off working and took care of their kids and. She really was looking forward to getting married, and he dumped her at the last minute for another woman.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that one either.
Yeah, well.
That's a tough one.
He might not agree, but Christopher Kelly in...
The judge?
That's the litigant. Christopher Kelly is out of pocket $50,000 because of his broken contract. I wonder if people...
Litigating love. It's not a good thing.
I would be willing to bet. Here's my guess that most of the listeners would agree that if you made that promise and you asked her to take certain steps toward, you know, fulfilling that promise, and then you just dumped her, that, you know, you might have to pay damages as well.
Really? Because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, aren't the, and again, I guess it's state specific, but wasn't there a case recently in Pennsylvania about the engagement ring? And the woman was not forced to give the engagement ring back to the guy, even though they ended up not getting married? And he said, it's a contract and we're not fulfilling it, so... Yeah. I get it back. And they were like, no, you gave it. It's a gift and it's a, you know. So I don't know.
I always thought in Pennsylvania that you got the ring back. I'm going to have to investigate
this. I don't
know
if it was Pennsylvania or not, but it was somewhere. You know, every state's different. Again, it's all over the place with this.
Right.
Litigating love is not a good thing, I think. I think I don't agree with you. I don't think most people would say she should get money.
Well, we're going to find out. Our listeners, you know, they're not ashamed to call in and give us their opinion.
Prove me wrong.
215-227-2727.
And we have to mention Nelson Mandela, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
95 years old. That's he lived 20 full lives compared to most of us, right? What was it, 27 years?
Yeah.
Or 30 years in jail?
We have a little clip on Mr. Mandela.
We have made it very clear in our policy that South Africa is a country of many races. There is room for all the various races in this country.
Thank you very much to you all. Thank you that you chose to care. I want to tell you, as I have told many other meetings before, we respect you, we admire you, and above all, we love you.
At his trial in 1964, Nelson Mandela closed his statement from the dock saying, I have fought against white domination. And I have fought against black domination. I have cherished the ideal of a democratic and free society in which all persons live together in harmony and with equal opportunities. It's an ideal which I hope to live for and to achieve. But if needs be, it is an ideal for which I am prepared to die.
Go ahead.
Am I on? Yeah. There you go. Two things. First, where did that music come from underlying that?
I like that, actually.
Was that your idea, Kyle, that music?
It was comforting. 215-227-2727. Nelson Mandela has passed away.
There's one other thing, though.
At 95. Go ahead.
I thought you didn't have the most famous of quotes, which was that people aren't born to hate. They learn to hate, but it's much easier to learn how to love. And, you know, that whole, I'm terribly misquoting it, but that's sort of the basis of that quote. And he said that everyone can learn, you know, to love each other easier. It's much easier to do that than learn how to hate.
Yeah, what a story. He's incarcerated for
30 years,
a third of his life. Yeah. And comes out and becomes the president of the country.
And he wasn't bitter. That's the thing, though. 30 years, and he wasn't. There was no bitterness, no anger forced at anyone, no, you know, aggression, which is incredible to me. 30 years of your life.
He actually had tea with the widow of Hendrik Verwoerd, the prime minister who had incarcerated him. He was a special guy.
Definitely.
And he lived a full life.
You can't talk about this without the other critical story that came out when he passed, which was going back to Dick Cheney not approving Mandela's release, not approving the
visa.
I'm gonna have to look it up. He didn't approve of something because he felt he was a terrorist. You know, they labeled him as a terrorist, and Dick Cheney kind of said, "We agree," or he agreed.
Well, if Dick Cheney agrees, it's almost.
And he still does. He said, "I still agree."
It's an endorsement in my book.
I'm going to find out what that was.
All right. Well, while you're figuring that out, we're going to take a caller. Let's talk to Turan from Philly. Hey, Turan, welcome to Court Radio.
Hey, how you doing?
We're well, thank you. Good morning to you this Sunday. What was your question?
Long story short, I got caught up in something. I pleaded guilty. I did a little bit of probation, five years probation and a little house arrest. And I was also caught within a joint and sever, which means me and five other people had to pay a sum of $25,000. And my 5 years probation, I paid over $15,000. At the time that I spoke to the judge, he told me that I wasn't going to be responsible for the entire thing. And so my probation officer not to come after me for the entire thing. There's one gentleman that's still locked up for the same situation. And I was wondering, how do I not pay the entire thing? Now I've already been off probation, turned my life around, cool, I'm married, happy. And now they're coming after me for the rest of this money. And just me, solely me.
There
what
you
do
go.
I do?
Okay. Well, you're correct that when you're involved in something that causes injury or damage to somebody else. Back before the law changed, there was something called joint and several liability. And that means that if a group of people were found to be responsible civilly for some damages, then the full amount of damages could be the innocent injured party can take the full amount of damages from any one of the group. And even though they were jointly responsible, now the group has a remedy, though. You can then seek the full contribution from somebody else in the group. So they don't put that responsibility on the injured party. They don't say, injured party, you have to get $10,000 from each of these five individuals. They say you can get $50,000 from one of them. Then that one person, he's forced to seek contribution or get money back from the other people in the group. It sounds to me like you're involved in something like that, that this is a joint and several debt, and the injured party is getting it just from you, which may seem unfair to you. But the way the law was back then, it was, hey, there are two people and one of them is going to get screwed, in essence, is going to have to pay too much, or one's not going to get enough, we're going to make that person be the person who's responsible, even if that person's not fully responsible. And so you're kind of the recipient of that. You're going to have to go after the people that were your partners. And you're going to have to get them to pony up because they owe you. They owe you the money you owed to the injured party. That's kind of that's the deal.
Okay, now with the person being incarcerated, doesn't something come off about him just being in jail?
Well, he's responsible equally, just like you are, and you can get the money from him. You know, you could get a judgment against him, but you have to go after him to get the money you've already laid out. That's how that works. It's kind of whisper down the lane. And that's not the way it is today, but it was when you did this.
Okay.
Sorry.
There's no other no other way for me to get out of this?
No other way for you to get out of it. A judgment that they're, you know, they're chasing after you for this money. And, you know, you might work a deal out with them where you pay it out over time, you know.
Or pay a lump sum and it's less.
You know? Yeah, or pay a small, you know, you might have wanted to get a lawyer to help you negotiate the end of this. But as far as avoiding it for the, you know, for the other part, for the innocent party, the injured party, avoiding the saying, look, I've already given you 15, I don't owe you anymore. That's not going to work.
Okay.
All right, dude. Have a good Sunday. Thanks for calling Court Radio.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Uh-huh. Bitter pill to swallow.
Well, on a Sunday morning anyway, yeah. Speaking of bitter pills, yeah. We have our friend. he's here.
How does that bitter pill have to... we're going to have to go into that one.
Yeah.
How does Brian Walters fit into a bitter pill?
Well, anyway, when you're in need of cash and you got to get some cash quick... Brian Walters, president of Lawsuit Funding Solutions, joining us today, is there to give it to you, but there is going to be a payback. Hey, Brian, welcome to Court Radio.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure, always. So you're one of the guys who owns one of those companies, Lawsuit Funding Solutions, who happens to be our, you know, our sponsor of Court Radio. We applaud you for that, and thank you for your... you know, contribution to the community, in essence, because we're answering people's questions every Sunday morning. And part of that is because of your sponsorship. So thank you.
No problem. It's our pleasure. Glad to be part of it.
So people come to you, injured people, plaintiffs that are involved in cases come to your company to get a cash advance, you know, and they're happy for it when it happens. But not all of them are happy when it comes time for paybacks.
No, you're 100% right. We, just to give you a quick breakdown, we give out cash advances, as you said, when people have a personal injury, and most people think personal injury claims take 3-6 months. As you and David know, it can take 12, 18, 24, even 36 months to get done. And if that's the case and people are struggling financially, we will come in, give them money now, and then when the case settles or they receive a judgment, they pay us back the principal and obviously whatever interest they owe. Now, in turn, unlike, you know, regular loans where you're paying a bank 6%, we charge about 30% per year. So as you guys were alluding to, it's a higher interest rate loan. But if you end up losing your case, you owe us absolutely nothing back. So there's no risk to the client or the plaintiff, but everyone needs to realize if you're borrowing, for instance, $2,000, you're going to owe us potentially $2,500, $3,000, which, as you guys said, is a lot of money. So,
and wait, that's $2,500 or $3,000 of interest, folks. So if you borrow two years goes by before your lawyer finally settles your case, and that rarely happens at my Philly
right.
lawyer, but you're kind of bound in this process, and a couple years go by, and then finally the day comes when your case is resolved and you're compensated for all those injuries you sustained. You borrowed two from Brian a couple years ago, you spent it, you had rent to pay, it was the holidays, whatever it was, you're paying back close to six, maybe, if it's like two and a half years later. You know, you're certainly paying over four and probably over five. And now you're pulling your hair out because you have this, whatever. Let's say you got an $18,000 settlement. The lawyer takes his $6,000 or $7,000. You've got 12 left. And now five of it's going to go to Brian. And you're like, whoa, what happened? You borrowed the money.
You know, here's the difference I see, though, with Brian's company and some of the other ones out there. You know, I get clients, as you know, you do too, Dean, routinely one in advance. They need it.
Well, but, especially this time of the year.
Yeah, but a lot of times...
phone doesn't stop ringing.
You know, I'll send them to Brian or I'll call Brian and we'll evaluate everything. And Brian will say, you know, I don't know if this is a good idea or we can only give them $500. And that's it. They want $2,000. And why is that decision made? It's because we kind of know that at the end of the case, it's going to be too much that they're going to owe. whether because the case isn't worth that much or because it's going to take a little while. Whereas other companies, so then the client gets upset, and some clients will just go seek out someone else who's willing to give them whatever they want.
Oh, how many times has that happened?
Yes.
Where a client is called and you said, listen, I can't do it. It's just your case doesn't warrant this type of lending, and they dump you as their attorney.
Or you just get paperwork in the mail that they did it with another company. And then at the end of the case, they owe double or double and a half what they owed. And then they cry to you, oh, my God, I'm not paying this. And what do we say to them? We say, hey, you know, we told you, and now you're doing this. So there's a decision-making process that goes, you know, you shouldn't really do this unless you're desperate.
215-227-2727. If you've got questions for Brian Walters, who's the president of Lawsuit Funding Solutions, give us a call today. He's the guy who lends money to people who are injured in accidents. If you have a question about that, now's the time to try to get an answer. 215-227-2727. Let's talk to Natalie from South Philly. Good morning, Natalie, and welcome to Court Radio. Natalie.
Hello.
Hi, Natalie.
Hi, how are you?
We're good, thanks. You're on the radio. What's your questions?
I was in a very bad accident 5 years ago. I was hit. The guy was under influence, and he was on drugs. He had no insurance. I only had liability. I was in a coma for 3 months. I was in the hospital for 9 months. My arm got severed. I went through the back window of the car. I don't remember the accident or nothing, but my seatbelt had broken. I got ejected out of the window. Now, I wanted the three lawyers. We couldn't get nothing out of this, not even a dime. Is there any way that, of course, it's been 5 years, that I can get something out of this?
No.
No.
That's the quick answer. Because 5 years, 2 year statute of limitations, bars any recovery at all. You know, there's really no exception to the 2 year statute of limitations that would apply in your case, and therefore there is nothing. What could have?
But also, yeah. I mean, more importantly, there's no insurance. There's nowhere to get any recovery from except you said the seatbelt broke. Dean and I kind of looked at each other. There could have been a possible maybe looking into whether that was defective or not. It shouldn't have broken if it was on properly. But again,
yeah,
2 years is up. You can't even pursue that.
And what we do, and we have cases like that just for the future or for other listeners, we actually get experts involved who will microscopically look at the seatbelt mechanism and the belt itself to determine if there was a failure. They're not supposed to fail. And if they do, there may be a products liability case against the manufacturer of the car. Now, not if you got a soft tissue injury, neck and back, am I going to go to the expense and time and effort? So, you know, if you were involved in an accident and you have those kinds of injuries, chances are, even if there's a valid claim, it's not worth pursuing because it's very expensive to get the appropriate experts to do this type of analysis. But in the case of the caller, where you have catastrophic injuries, life-changing injuries, that's certainly something that we at My Philly Lawyer would endeavor to look into. But now, unfortunately for the caller, it's been more than 2 years, and we're unable, under law, unable to take a look at that case. All right. But thanks for giving us a call. 215-227-2727 in the studio with Brian Walters. Brian, what types of cases do you make advances on?
The biggest case we do, actually the case that the woman just talked about, is we do the MVAs, the motor vehicle accident. That's probably 80% of the cases we do. We do some medical malpractices, slip and falls, some catastrophic injuries, but they're a little harder to lend on. But our
Why?
Because they're harder. I mean, we're going to put out, as I said earlier, if the case is a loser, the case goes south, we're not going to get any money back. So if we gave out $10,000, the case goes to the court and they lose, we're out now $10,000. So it's a little harder to lend on. But an MVA, a motor vehicle, a woman gets rear-ended by a drunk driver. We know liability is clear. We can underwrite it and say, okay, this is at least a $10,000 case. As David said, if it's $10,000, we're going to lend 5% of what the case is worth. Therefore, we can give out $500 pretty easily. So An MVA, I can look at it within 5 minutes. I pretty much know by the liability issues and who the attorney is whether or not I want to lend. If I see David has the case or Dean Weitzman has the case, I'm going to take it. I'm going to step up and fund it based on the attorney's reputation. So,
yeah, I mean, I know that I've had cases where we've had clients borrowing closer to $50,000.
Right.
I mean, major cases that we kind of had a sense were going to be worth seven figures, like a $1 million case. That's a case that would warrant a $50,000 loan.
That, definitely. And the most we've ever done, we actually did a loan for $850,000. So we've gone up to those major numbers. But our bread and butter is that $1,000 to $2,000 loan for a client who, especially this time of year, cannot pay the heating bill, is 2 months behind on their rent. That's when you should come to us. It's as we talked about, it's expensive. It's an expensive loan. But when people are about to lose a car, they're about to get kicked out of their house, you know, whatever it may be, that's when they should come to Lawsuit Funding Solutions, is call your attorney, call us and say, hey, I need $2,000. Please help me. And we can definitely step in and help you.
But what about putting presents under the Christmas tree? That wasn't one of the things that you had listed as a reason to get a loan.
No, I don't think it's a good reason. I mean, it's, as I said, it's if you're in dire straits and you need money fast, and you're at, you know, 3 months behind on your mortgage, you're going to lose your house to the bank, call us. But if you're trying to buy, you know, a $75, or, you know, we saw Black Friday last week, if you're trying to buy a $250 TV from us, it's not the right loan. You know, go borrow from an uncle or cousin if you can, but don't borrow from me, and then you're going to owe, you know, $200 or $300 on top of that. It's kind of idiotic,
yeah,
obviously.
The $250 TV costs you $1,000 when it's all said and done.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not the smartest loan. Hang in there for another 6 months, let your case settle, then go buy that TV. You know, it's something you should really need, and if you know, if you need to keep the kids in school or the car payments, whatever it may, call us. But otherwise, don't go out and buy a TV with our money. It's
by the
way,
smartest thing. You've said it a number of times. How do people call you?
Best way to call me is 888-697-7352. That goes right to our office line. Leave a message, talk to me, whatever it may be, and I'll break it down for you real quick whether or not we can get you a loan, and hopefully help you out.
One more time, what's the number?
888-697-7352.
Okay. Let's take Kenny from West Philly. Hey, Kenny, welcome to Court Radio.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
We're doing well,
yes,
thanks.
I have a situation in which I was arrested for domestic violence, and even though I wasn't convicted, it still shows up on my record. I'm an over-the-road trucker. I have to get this taken off my record so I can apply for my hazmat. So how do I go about doing that?
You give us a call during the week, 215-227-2727. Team of lawyers that do expungements, working for My Philly Lawyer, and they regularly file these petitions. When you have arrests and no convictions, you're able to get those eventually expunged. It's a process. You got to file a petition. There may be a court hearing, may not. We have to contact the district attorney's office, make sure they don't object to it, and get them to join in on the motion. There's steps to take. There's a cost involved. There's a filing fee. There's legal fees. But the answer is, if it's something you need to have happen, I can make it happen. All you got to do is give us a call during the week, 215-227-2727.
I most certainly will. Thank you.
All right, Kenny, take care, buddy, and have a great Sunday.
You too.
All right. Yeah, that's a regular expungement. Now, yeah. you can't get...
No, if you have a conviction.
You got a conviction for misdemeanors or felonies, you're screwed.
Forget it.
We're trying to work on that. In fact, Jordan Harris is working on a bill, legislator... extraordinaire Jordan Harris is working on a bill to make it easier for folks to get their records expunged even when there's a conviction.
He was in here.
He was
a guest,
and he called and called me this week actually, and he's going to be up for re-election next year. I hope everybody runs out to the polls and pulls his lever. But yeah, he's working. He's actually working on a bill which he believes has a good chance of passing, because nobody really thinks it's great to have a conviction that follows you and prevents you from getting gainful employment forever. I mean, it's enough, you know? You got to let the past be in the past, right, Kyle? All right.
With Kyle's 20 convictions.
Right. I mean, he's, you know, we've given him another chance.
Yeah.
All right, folks, we're going to be right back with Brian Walters, Lawsuit Funding Solutions, Legal Issues, Legal Questions, 215-227-2727. You call it, we'll answer. We'll be right back.
For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years appointment at one of our three convenient locations. Call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia. If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If your child was injured at birth, if you were the victim of a medical mistake, or if you were hurt in a workplace or automobile accident, choosing the right legal representation is critical to getting the compensation you deserve. I'm Dean Weitzman from My Philly Lawyer. We've collected over $100 million for our clients, and we won't stop until your future is secure. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
We're back. 215-227-2727. Let's talk to Marie. Good morning, Marie, and welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Well, thanks. What's your question?
I just wanted to get some information about a legal issue, a motor vehicle accident that happened to me when I was a minor.
Go ahead.
I was hit by a car, hit and run, and then I was picked up by the ambulances and never was taken to the emergency room. They actually dropped me off to my aunt's house, and my mother had to get escorted from 95 to take me to the hospital, to the ER. Anywho, my lawyer took the case and everything. When I was of age to, I guess, collect my settlement, he never went to the arbitration or anything of that nature, so I never received a settlement. What he basically did was give me, like, a personal check from his banking account. And when I tried to request my files from him to so I can take it to another lawyer to get a better decision of what had happened, he refused to give it to me, and I started working as a paralegal, and then I learned about the statute of limitations and everything, and I tried to, like, get all my information from him within that time frame, but he still wasted time, and we submitted all the forms to have my file sent to me, and he never sent it back, and then he admitted that he never attended the arbitration, and the insurance just gave him whatever their agreement was, and that was it. And since then, I just wanted to know, was there anything else that I could do, or like...
Yes. What you should have done was gone to another attorney and contacted the Disciplinary Board of Pennsylvania. The Disciplinary Board of Pennsylvania is the organization that oversees attorneys and makes sure that they follow the ethical rules. And one of the ethical rules is that you know, you have to vigorously represent your client. And if you don't, and then you lie to your client about that, then you're in violation of the rules and you could lose your license. I mean, it's the when an attorney does something wrong like that, the disciplinary board is the greatest hammer a potential client may have to affect the attorney. You know, better than even suing the attorney, because that's just a money judgment at some point. But your license to practice law is in jeopardy when you're doing funny things with clients' money or cases. And, you know, you're not being forthright. You're not being honest to your client. And you didn't come right out and say, look, I screwed your case up. You're 18 now. I screwed your case up. You need to go see another attorney and he'll make it right. They can sue me. They could sue my malpractice insurance if the attorney had malpractice insurance, which we all have to have unless we notify the clients that we don't have it. So, yeah, I would say that. How old are you now?
Well, I'm 27 now, and I never received anything till like 20.
Yeah.
Because when I turned 18, he never would give me any information when I call or contact him.
Right.
And then I did threaten to sue him, and that's when he called me to his office and then gave me a check for $4,500. So that was it. But that wasn't what it was settled for. They actually was settling for a large number because it was aiming at suing the ambulance company, because in the emergency like that, and me being a minor, they never even took me to the hospital. They dropped me off at my aunt's house.
Right.
Well, my cousin was with me the whole time, and they said they just dropped me off to her house. And it was a big case, but he never handled it. And then, like I said, when I started working as a paralegal for an immigration law firm, my boss, you know, gave me some knowledge about it, and that's when we submitted a letter to to get all my files back to me so he can look over it. But he never sent it, and then he just called me one day and admitted that I never went to arbitration, and that was it. So I don't know if there's anything I could still do now, or it's just, you know.
No.
Seven years too late.
Yeah. 7 years is too long, too late. And but, you know, I don't know if there's a statute of limitations vis-a-vis the disciplinary board.
But what's your rent? What are you going to get?
You're not going to get anything out of it. Yeah. You're not going to get anything, but you may still be able to report that behavior to the disciplinary board of Pennsylvania. But as far as you're collecting, you know, not only it sounds also like you probably signed papers to get that $4,500, and you probably released the attorney from any liability. That would be my guess, that he didn't just hand you a check for $4,500 and say, have a good day. He said, here,
yeah,
sign.
Yeah, he did. He actually told his secretary to give it to me. She put it in an envelope and she gave it to me.
But that was that after you were 20?
Yeah.
Was that?
Yes.
Yeah.
So he knew, you know, he was probably just making sure he was okay for he could sleep at night somewhat peacefully, knowing that he gave you something.
Well, anyway, thanks for calling Court Radio.
The breakdown of everything, I never got nothing of that either.
Yeah, well, see,
going on, no clue.
Those are the kinds of things you need to ask for or demand, if they're not given to you, from your attorney. I mean, every legitimate attorney, when they resolve a case, they have paper trail, documentation, distribution sheets showing what came in, what went out. And as a client, that's your right to see that. And you need to ask for it. And if you don't get it, you need to demand it. And as I said, worst case scenario, this is the teaching lesson for the rest of our listeners. Worst case scenario, you got to go to the disciplinary board if you're not getting satisfaction from the attorney and you're not getting the documentation you deserve to show that what he's telling you is the truth. All right. Anyway, thanks for giving the Court Radio a call. Have a great Sunday. And thanks for helping our other listeners. Let's talk to Quentin from South Philly. Hey, Quentin, welcome to Court Radio. What's your question?
I was in two auto accidents within 18 months. The first auto accident I was in was I was actually on a job, and we have cameras that seen the guy take a red light, and ran right into me, and I told the van me and my partner. Now, my question is this. The anniversary of that accident will be in January, coming up on 2 years. And I've been in another accident in July 5th where, no fault of mine, somebody taking the actual another red light and running into my car, towing it again. Now, my question is this. I set up an appointment to talk to my first attorney about my case because I have gotten little response from him for the past 2 years. Now, here it is. I have another case with another attorney, and this attorney once a month is frequently giving me information about my case. Now, I set up a meeting to sit down and talk to my first attorney, but I want to know some of the questions at this point in the case. January 29th will be 2 years. What are some of the questions I should be asking him looking for?
Okay, question. The only question you really need to ask him is, what has he done in the last 2 years to represent you? And has the case been submitted for settlement? And what is the status of those settlement discussions? And if it doesn't settle before the statute of limitations, is he prepared to file suit to get you the damages that you're entitled to? So those are some of the questions you want to be able to ask him. And, you know, you're entitled to damages for injuries sustained in an accident. The second accident, while it may muddy the waters, it doesn't really change that scenario. The first accident, you had a period of time where you were injured, I'm assuming. You went to the doctor and you treated. You're entitled to be compensated. Now, there's certain things that could stand in the way. Let's say you had limited tort on the first case. And your injuries weren't that severe. Well, he might take the position you don't really have a case because you had a little bit of treatment, but you have this limited tort that you have to overcome. You're not able to show that your injuries were serious, and therefore I'm not going to pursue the case for you. But you need to have that conversation, and you need to have it quickly because, as you well know, come the two-year anniversary, if he hasn't settled it and he hasn't filed suit, you're done. That case is over, even if it was a valid case. So,
right. When I talked to him, that was this whole thing that the statute of limitations is 2 years, and that we do have a case because the person who took the actual light, they didn't have insurance, but I was in my work vehicle, and we have
uninsured.
I'm not familiar with
that's
it, but
okay.
Something I was insured by my company.
Right.
So we have a case. It's just that the difference in the two lawyers, whereas this lawyer, I really got not much information, and I have a case that's only been about 6 months old, and this lawyer gave me a bunch of information.
Well, you've answered your own question,
yeah,
haven't you?
Better,
I mean, if you're happy with the services of lawyer number two, and he's communicating and giving you the service you think you're entitled to, then you're always free as a client to move your case from one lawyer to another. The lawyers usually will work out some arrangement between them, you know, like they'll share the fee. It's not going to cost you a nickel more. So if you're working well with one attorney and you're not working well with the other, then talk to the second attorney about taking over representation on the first case. It sounds to me like it's a case where you'd want to have one attorney anyway so that they can, you know, represent you in such a way that, you know, there's not confusion and there's not two different arguments, one over the other. So that's my advice would be to talk, if you've come to that conclusion, you can't work it out with lawyer number one, then go see lawyer number two and get the case moved over. And if it's such a great case, I'm sure he'd want to move it over anyway.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right. It's your right to do that, folks. If you've got representation and you're not happy, you can move. Nothing stopping you. All right, we're joined in the studio, David, with Brian Walters from Lawsuit Funding. Hey, Brian. I have a question for you. There's a lot of questions I have. Like, what happens in a case like that where you've lent money, you've advanced money to a client who then dumps his attorney and moves to another attorney? Are you fearful you're not getting paid back?
100%. I mean, when we work with, as I kind of said about 10 minutes ago, when we underwrite and look at it and eventually approve a case, 50% of the reason we do it is the case, but 50% is the attorney. So there are some attorneys in this city that we will not work with. And I don't care how good the case is, we're going to pass on it. But as I said, when it's my Philly lawyer, David, we're going to look at it and say, we're in. You know, it's if you guys are in it and the case is a year old and someone did physical therapy and there's real injuries there, we're going to step up and do an advance on the case. So when the case gets transferred to an attorney, I have no idea who they are. I'm very fearful. I don't know if that attorney is good or not. I don't know, you know, if what their settlement record is. You know, do they settle only 70% of their cases? So we are very fearful when a case gets turned over to a different attorney that we don't know, that we don't trust, or, you know, we don't hear a very good reputation. we were very fearful that that case is going to go south and we're going to lose our money.
So yeah.
Our whole business plan is to work with attorneys, work with good attorneys, and knowing that those attorneys are going to hit 99.9% of their cases.
Do you only advance money to clients who have good credit records?
No, you know, that's a great question. We could care less about their credit. It's our only collateral is the case. So instead of, you know, I use the word loan just to keep it simple, but these are not loans. These are cash advances because the only collateral is the case. We're not going to put a lien on someone's house, someone's car, someone's anything. We're putting a lien on the case and the case alone. So if someone loses their case, we can't come after them and say, hey, you still owe us $2,000 because we gave you $2,000 12 months ago. No, you lose your case, we're out that $2,000. So credit has absolutely nothing to do with it.
Okay.
Now, well, I have a question.
Sure.
Let's talk about and this doesn't happen often, but let's say a scenario, you talk about, you know, losing a case where for some reason there's no recovery and you lose your advance. What about if you advance something and the recovery, for some reason, there is one, but it's small. Small to the point where there isn't enough money to go around for the costs, attorney's fee, what the person may get, and paying your advance back fully. What happens then?
It happens all the time, and you know we'll take a lesser fee. Back to my example of $2,000. If someone owes us $3,000 total, you know the attorney will call us and say, "Hey, Brian, I thought this case was worth $25,000. We're going to settle only for $4,000. Would you take $2,000?" Sometimes I have to say yes, and you know the way we look at it is, I made a mistake. You know, I'm the one who underwrote that case. I thought the case was worth $25,000. Obviously, I was incorrect. Now it's only worth $4,000, so I gotta take my medicine on this one. So it happens all the time, and sometimes even if we lend two, sometimes we'll only get $1,000 back. So that's on me, and it does happen. It's not great when it happens. Back to our example about only working with certain attorneys, I have all those records. I know exactly how my Philly lawyer has done for us in the last couple of years, and they've done fantastic. So, but if my Philly lawyer did that 5 out of 10 cases, I'm not going to work with my Philly lawyer anymore. And you know, there's attorneys who we stop working with based on that fact alone. On one, they lose cases, and two, we don't get paid back on what we owe. You know, and when that happens 50% of the time, you're not going to work with that attorney anymore. So sure. No, it happens all the time, and sometimes I got to take my medicine and just try to get as much back as I can.
The truth of the matter is that when I call for an advance for a client, normally we can get an advance within the hour, literally within the hour. So if I call at 1 o'clock on Monday afternoon, by 2 o'clock, a check is sitting in my office with all the paperwork necessary for my client to sign off and walk out with money. That's how easy it is when you're a client of my firm and we have a working relationship with a company like Lawsuit Funding Solutions.
I'm going to take it further with Brian. Brian's office is good enough that a lot of my clients don't even have to wait for the check to come to my office. They go right to Brian's office in Center City and they pick it up right there.
Yeah, that's the great thing about us. You know, we were based in Jenkintown and we figured 90% of our clients are within a 5-block radius in Center City, Philadelphia. So we're at 16th and Walnut, and we know my Philly lawyer is 2 blocks away from us. So you guys are 100% right. When someone calls over from my Philly lawyer and says, hey, we need a $1,000 advance, our girls are over there within 15 minutes. You know, that's kind of the relationship we have, and that's how much we trust my Philly lawyer and David working with you guys. So it's a great relationship for us. It makes it easy for everyone. And that's again the business plan that we have. It's worked out for everyone so far.
Let me ask you something. Well, I have larger cases, and you've been kind enough to underwrite those larger cases as well. I'm thinking of a case where we've had advances to our client for, you know, in excess of $20,000. They're staggered. Like, you know, we might get $5,000, and then a few months later another $5,000, a few months later another $5,000. How is the payback on those configured? Like, do they just pay a flat fee for this? How does that work?
No, we break it down. It's almost a different advance each time. So instead of doing a flat fee, you know, someone will borrow $5,000. If it takes 12 months, well, they're going to owe us $7,000 back total. So the five plus two in interest. Then the next one is 6 months later. They're going to owe us the five plus, call it $1,500. So it's going to be a lot less. And it's actually a great example and a lot smarter thing to do. Instead of borrowing $20,000 at once, which you don't need, borrow $5,000 every in six-month increments. The interest you're going to owe us back in the end is going to be a ton less. And not only that, if you borrow $20,000 and it sits in the bank and you don't need it, it's, again, idiotic to let that interest accrue when you really don't need it. And the downside on it is you borrow $20,000, you only need five. You're going to find a way to spend that $15,000 somewhere, and you're going to spend it on stuff that you really don't need. So
when we come back, we're going to be taking a break. But when we come back, I have a question about nowadays. David and I are faced with a whole nother layer that wasn't there before. That's liens by governmental agencies for child support and things of that nature. How does that impact your ability to underwrite? We'll be right back with Brian Walters, Lawsuit Funding Solutions, after this station break.
For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our three convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia. If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident? With your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
I'm Dean Weitzman from My Philly Lawyer. If you've been the victim of a medical mistake, getting proper care matters. Understanding your rights matters. And getting just compensation that provides for your future matters. That's why your attorney matters. If you're suffering because of a serious medical mistake, call My Philly Lawyer at 215-227-2727. Choosing the right legal representation is critical to getting the compensation you deserve. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
We're back and joined in the studio with Brian Walters from Lawsuit Funding Solutions. Brian, a sponsor of Court Radio, joined us in the studio today to talk about advances for clients. It's the rage these days. When I started to practice law, no such thing. This is a cottage industry that sprang up in the last 10 years. And Brian has jumped on the gravy train, you know, smart guy. He's lending money to injured people all over the Delaware Valley. And but, you know, another cottage industry that's popped up in the last 10 years is really the folks who jump in on a personal injury settlement now are family court. You know, they've got their hand out when there's a spouse or a parent who owes child support. There could be an order from the court which precludes distribution of the funds until the court gets paid their money. How do you figure that into this process? Do you do the research on those issues?
Yeah, we do. I mean, we'll check on liens for people. And the biggest thing for us is if they have a DPW lien, which is welfare lien, if they have child support. That's the biggest one for me. I have two young kids. If they have a child support lien of $20,000, we're not ahead of that lien, and we shouldn't be. So the attorney's going to get paid back first, and then the child support lien, and then us. So if a case is only worth $40,000, the attorney's going to get a third or 30 to 40%, whatever they're going to get, and then that child support lien gets paid next, which it should. There's no money left over for us or the client. So if we see a child support lien and it's hefty, we pass. We say, thanks, but no thanks. You know, the attorney can tell us it's a great case, but we're going to sit on the sidelines for this one. Same thing for DPW. If there's a big welfare lien, we're not ahead of that one. We'll sit on the sidelines and not advance the money on the case.
There you go. See, folks, there's a lot to this. A lot of people looking to dip into your pocket. Let's talk to Steve from Mount Airy. Hey, Steve, welcome to Court Radio. Oh, Steve.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's your question?
My neighbor and I went to a contract with another neighbor down the street that was supposed to be a contractor. And the work he did was garbage, so I paid somebody else to take up his mess. And then I had to get another cement worker. So I was wondering if I could sue him for half of what I paid him, which was $500. And the $300 I paid the other guy to pull up his mess.
Yes. The answer is yes. This is America. You could sue anybody. I could sue Kyle for that sweater he's wearing
for that
today.
That music he played on the Mandela piece.
But you use the municipal court in Philadelphia. That's what it's there for. You know, you can go down. They'll help you file the complaint. It doesn't cost a heck of a lot of money, and you'll have your day in court, and you'll be able to. A judge will be forced to listen to your story about your neighbor and how bad his job was. I'll just preface it by saying that, you know, go prepared. And it's you're not a contractor, and you're going to need to have a contractor say that the first contractor's work was garbage. And so you probably would be well off to bring the second contractor who did the job that you felt was appropriate and have him testify why the first guy's job was insufficient. And because you really need to have an expert in that circumstance to say it. Unless, of course, it's so obvious that the pictures speak 1,000 words, then you can go in with pictures, perhaps. But you need some evidence, more than just your testimony. And it could be the second contractor, pictures, or both. And you'll get a judgment. The court will award you a judgment. Now, whether you'll ever collect that judgment is another story. But before you get to worrying about collecting it, you got to get it. So go get it.
Right.
You got it?
Yes. I have pictures of before, after, and the mess that he made, and some pictures of the new contractor's work.
Very good. Then you're all set. All you got to do is go down to municipal court. I think they're on Chestnut Street these days, and they'll help you take care of it. And give us a call back. Let us know how it worked out for you.
No, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, take care. Well, you know, Brian, we're getting close to the hour here. Folks, you know how quickly an hour of court radio goes by. It goes by even quicker when we have Brian Walters in the studio. Fascinating. He's fascinating.
Riveting.
Yes.
Well, hey, thanks for having me, guys. And as I said, if anyone needs help from us, give us a call, 888-697-7352. Hopefully I can help them out.
There's also a website, isn't there?
Yeah, go to www.lawsuitfundingsolutions.com. That can answer a ton of your questions as well. We have a blog on there, the whole nine yards. So check it out. And again, if you have any questions, give me a call.
Well, we have about 30 seconds. I just want to ask you, do you make advances on workers' comp cases?
We do sometimes. A lot of the times the case has already been settled. Once that happens, we can do an alternative delivery. Make sure all the funds go directly to the attorney rather than directly to the plaintiff.
How about when it's not settled?
When it's not settled, we do not.
Okay.
It's just hard in the state of Pennsylvania to do that.
All right. There are companies that do that, and I always wondered how is it that they get to resolve those, because you can't force a settlement on a workers' comp case.
Correct, 100%, and that's why we don't do it.
All right. Folks, there you have it. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Court Radio. David and I will be back next Sunday, same time, same place.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot.